to VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 386, recorded on May 27th, 2015.
Welcome to the 386th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 219th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
Right. So, yeah, it's been 2 weeks. Last week was just a cluster. Just couldn't get it done. And then we had to delay this podcast a few times because of external things happening.
Right, like I flew to New York to help a friend move.
Yeah, and that's why we couldn't do it last week, because he had... Actually, I did that wrong. It wasn't a cluster. You just weren't available.
I just wasn't available.
Yeah.
Followed by Memorial Day weekend, during which there was a 3-day gaming convention. So yeah.
Was someone graduating?
I get very little sleep during those things.
Was Michael graduating? I forgot the reason what you were doing.
Yes, my friend Michael graduated and needed help. Graduated from grad school, ironically enough, and needed help moving from New York to Los Angeles. And since I live in Los Angeles, I was the first person he thought of.
Anyways, what have you been playing, Paul?
Oh my God, I've been playing so much D&D. I'm ready to like lose my mind.
Wait, tabletop, pen and paper.
Tabletop.
So
yeah, I mean that. D&D and werewolves. That's been my entire weekend.
Really? Ugh. I don't like werewolf. I prefer resistance or one night werewolf, because if you're selected early to be lynched or eaten, you have to sit down and wait for a long time and shut up and do nothing or do whatever while everybody else is having fun. You know, at least one night werewolf.
I mean, at that point you just go and do something else.
At one night werewolf, at least it's just one round. You know. Everybody, you just pick who you think of the werewolf is, and boom, the game's over. Or resistance, in which resistance and werewolf, there's a lot of recriminations, a lot of yelling, a lot of accusations, a lot of friendships on the brink because they keep on accusing you of being something you know you're not, that sort of thing.
Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I mean, of not liking werewolf.
No, I mean, I don't like werewolf. I like one night werewolf. I like resistance, which is basically werewolf with no elimination. So, I mean, for those who don't know, werewolf is basically mafia, except with wolves and townspeople. And they have to lynch the right people, or they get eaten the next night. And everybody votes on who they think the werewolves are. And the only people who know who the werewolves are the werewolves. So, yeah. As for me, I haven't been really playing anything. I'm more looking forward to Batman Arkham Knight. You know, I keep on hearing great things about The Witcher 3, but I'm not going to bother.
Oh, fair enough.
I mean, I didn't play the first two, and, you know, I just don't like those hack-and-slash adventure games, RPG games. They just don't do it for me. I don't play, you know, like stuff like Dark Souls or Bloodborne or Demon Souls. Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a pretty heavy week. One of the most amusing things, though, is you know about the FIFA scandal, right?
No, I don't know about the FIFA scandal.
Okay, well, the United States and the Swiss police forces, the FBI and the Swiss police, have busted the top officials of FIFA, which is the world's governing body for soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically it's extremely corrupt and they've been taking hundreds of millions of dollars, and which is why Russia and Qatar got World Cup bids. And for those who don't know, you know, FIFA claims they're not going to go award World Cups where people might have danger, you know, not civil rights, but human rights violations. And Russia and Qatar aren't exactly high on the list of Amnesty's safe countries. The funnier thing is that they had to move Qatar to the winter because it's 150 degrees in the summer in Qatar, And the people who are building their stadium are dying. There are 150 deaths. You know, and they basically have indentured servitude for people who come into the country to work on it, which is indentured servitude, for those you know, is just one notch above slavery. So yeah, there's a good chance that they're going to get their World Cups revoked. And, you know, like I said, you know, it's whatever. Anyway, but the funny part is that today, on the same day of all this, EA Sports announced FIFA 16.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean,
timing.
Yeah, that's pretty bad timing, Electronic Arts. Although I will say this, you know, people don't care about the governing body of FIFA when they play a soccer game on a computer.
Oh my god, all I know about FIFA is that people will steal your
credit card
and stuff.
Yeah,
spend money on FIFA. It's like, really? Like, really?
There's phishing, yes. The phishing thing that was going on 2 years ago.
No, not even. Like, they'll just hack your account.
I thought it was a phishing thing.
Flat-out hack. Dude, it happened to me. Just a flat-out hack.
Wow. Oh, yeah, and then they'll have these, then you get these random messages on Xbox Live or whatever saying, hey, you know, we got this free, what's it called, stuff? Yeah, from FIFA. Yeah, right. Wait, go away.
Yeah, right. My gamer score is permanently marred by the fact that it has achievements in there for FIFA, and I have never even played it.
Wait, like, really? That never happened to me. I just mean they... Oh, you mean they hacked your account and played FIFA on your computer, right?
No.
On your Xbox, yeah.
Well, you know, they hacked my Xbox Live account, and...
They played FIFA all day on it.
Right, and buying stuff.
Yeah. That's
like, are you freaking kidding? Like, could you at least, like, be better at it? So, I mean, you could have gotten me the points. Like, whatever.
At least you could have gotten me achievements in better games.
Yeah, right?
Hey, you know, I'm missing one of those, the Batman Arkham Asylum achievement, you know, that requires 100%. Couldn't you have gotten me that one, please? I would have paid for you for that. Anyway, so E3 is coming up, and I'll find...
E3 is coming up.
And I'll be in L.A. for a week. I'll be there from the 13th to the 20th. I don't know. I know Paul here is not enamored of E3 anymore. He's been there.
Not that I'm not enamored of it. It's just you know, it's tiring. It's like any spectacle. You know, it just takes a lot of energy.
The only thing that I was able to get him to do with me was go to the Sims 4 showing, right? And do you still have the T-shirt and sunglasses? The little swag they gave you.
I have no idea. The sunglasses are in my car. They are courtesy glasses for guests that may have forgotten theirs.
Okay. Well, you know, they're bright green. I mean, you know. But the thing is that, you know, you were ifsy-shiftsy about it. You know, you said, okay. I was excited until the actual game came out. So, but we, you know, with that swag, I did give one of our listeners free The Sims 4 swag, if you recall.
That's true.
A little late, but there you go. Next week we may have a co-host. What's it called? Not anything definite, but we will let you. We will let all of you know. Well, actually, when the podcast happens, you'll have a third voice, and that's the way you'll know.
A surprise guest star.
And perhaps your successor. We don't know. So, like I said, you know, we're counting down for Paul. This is 385. You know, that's 15 more. 50 more episodes till 400, then Paul can give his goodbyes as a regular podcast host, co-host.
Yeah, I just like I said, it just feels time to hand it over to somebody else.
Yeah, sort of handing off the baton, so to speak. So, anyways, we're going to move on to the news, and there is sort of a theme for the first two items. Go ahead, Paul.
There's a theme. I love theming.
A minor theme.
Greed, fear, and the potential to change the world will drive VR, say analysts, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Analyst Marquee Securities has warned that every company needs to be aware that virtual reality could become the next major platform. It made the comments in response to the news that the former lead designer of Google Search, John Wiley, is now the lead designer for VR products at Google. Quote, we believe greed, fear, and the potential to change the world are going to drive VR/AR.
And AR, report, by the way, is augmented reality.
Said a report from Macquarie,
it looks
Macquarie
like.
Macquarie Securities, authored by Ben
Schachter.
Schachter?
Schachter.
John Merrick and Tom White.
Wait, John Merrick is the elephant man. Isn't he? Wasn't that John Merrick?
I have no idea. I've never seen The Elephant Man. I wouldn't know.
You don't have to see it. It's just... I am not an analyst. I am a human being. Anyways.
Yeah, you enjoy that. For true believers that VR, AR is the next platform, the stakes are so high that they will invest significantly and move quickly. For unbelievers, they will look at what happened to all those that doubted mobile and realize that even if they don't believe it, they had better be prepared just in case it does work. No one wants to be the BlackBerry of the next platform shift. Ooh, that hurt. McAfee Security suggested that while games and sports might be the launchpad for virtual reality as a platform, it has the potential to enter every sphere of life, like communication, enterprise, commerce, and healthcare. It will also become more and more important to investors. The company also predicts that the technology will eventually be housed in contact lenses. However, the timing is uncertain and there will be many setbacks and lots of doubters. Critically important is that because the shift from desktop to mobile caught so many off guard and so dramatically impacted the competitive landscape, each and every tech media company is going to have to be prepared for just the possibility that VR AR will become the next platform.
Okay, before you comment, we'll do the next item, which is related.
Okay.
Casey Hudson joins Microsoft, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Casey Hudson has landed at Microsoft. The platform holder today announced that Hudson has signed on as a creative director at Microsoft Studios, where he will report directly to Corporate Vice President Kudo Sonoda. While Hudson will work on some Xbox projects, his primary focus will be on overseeing the new experience for Microsoft's HoloLens augmented reality platform. Hudson said, I feel that the work being done at Microsoft and on mixed reality and holographic computing will have a tremendous impact on how all of us interact with technology in the coming years. Hudson has a sort of history with Microsoft, having worked on high-profile Xbox exclusives like Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic and Mass Effect during his 16 years at BioWare. Hudson left the studio last August, calling it, quote, without a doubt, the most difficult decision of my career, close quote. Now, we're getting into this area in which people are starting to treat virtual reality and augmented reality like 3D TVs, you know. I mean, they're saying, look out, you know, we saw what happened with mobile. It exploded. And, you know, those who are left in the dust are going to be, you know, are going to be backwards, you know. So, Paul, so what do you think of this? You know, this thing in which you better, you know, is this going to be like mobile in which, you know, it just takes people by storm, or is this just like another 3D TV thing?
Well, I think we have to look at the difference between 3D TVs and mobile platforms and realize what was the major difference behind the success of one and the failure of the other. My personal opinion is that a 3D television just kind of made life slightly more entertaining, while mobile phones made everyone's lives easier and more convenient, faster, and essentially better. It allowed people to go out and have the freedom that they wanted because they, you know, their mobile device could do more things.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to need a cell phone, right? And, you know, you say, oh, a smartphone, let's try that. And they said, oh, the smartphone is neat, and there are games for it.
However, you know, I do want to make it clear that I know quite a few people to this day who still have flip phones because they have decided that for their lifestyle and their budget, they don't require spending $50 a month on data packages. And you know what? Rightfully so. And I applaud them, and these products should still be available. And I think that we need to take a, you know, whatever we're looking at is, you know, we're going to compare it to mobile or 3D televisions. You know, in this case, we're choosing to look at, you know, VR, AR, which I, can we come up with a better acronym for that, please? Somehow.
VRAR.
I mean, so if that technology wants to be successful, it has to make people's lives easier. It has to offer a real benefit. It has to free up their time.
Why even
do something else?
I was just thinking, why even use acronyms? I just say virtual and augmented reality. Boom, there you go. You don't need initials for that, really.
Well, no. I mean, in the same way that we now have the quite fascinating title for the Toys to Life category.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they could have come up with, you know, it didn't have to, I'm not saying it has to be an acronym, it just has to be a pithy name. But I digress. I mean,
I mean, Oculus.
Any new technology, if it wants to be successful, it has to make itself useful. Right. It has to make itself appealing. It can't. I mean, we've reached an age where we can't just rely on being slightly more entertaining than the competition.
I mean, Oculus.
Not if we want this kind of success.
Oculus started the entire craze over again, right? I mean, and the thing about Oculus was that it worked. You know, it wasn't like Virtual Boy in which you got a headache after 15 minutes because it was red.
Hey, I remember 1994.
It was red.
Everybody was going to be convinced that we were going to be having 3D sex like in Lawnmower Man.
Well, that's just it. Remember, all the cartoons also had this weird, and comic books had this weird idea of what virtual reality was supposed to be.
Right.
You know, it was just another world, Captain and the Game Master, right? It wasn't virtual reality, but they did.
No, it was just a completely different universe.
Yeah, but they did have stuff that was like that, in which you entered a different universe, what's it called, like virtual reality was its own world, like Tron.
Oh, VR Troopers.
Okay, there you go. Right.
And that was like, oh, we're going to turn into samurai robots and do battle in the internet.
Right. But the thing is that, you know, I mean, the craze has started again. And now that we have the technology that's caught up, I mean, the Virtual Boy was a little ahead of its time. You know, it could have worked.
Yeah, I mean, it was shooting lasers into your eyes.
It could have worked. But now, you know, well, now basically it's very, very simple. It's just with the VR, with the Oculus, it's just, you know, working with screens in your face and, you know, so close up that it becomes, you know, the virtual reality. So, would you buy virtual reality contact lenses?
And you know what? No, because I'm not going to be able to, like, get those things into my eye. Like, it's just too much of a physical problem for me.
I can't either. But here's the thing is that, are those for people with good sight, though? I mean, I doubt these virtual reality contact lenses are going to be for people who don't have 20/20 sight. You know, I don't know, maybe you'll have, like, a monocle for people who don't have perfect sight. You know, you've seen the monocles, right? Those virtual reality monocles. Actually, wasn't Google...
You mean Google Glass?
That? Yeah. Oh, that's right.
You mean Google Glass?
Yeah.
That's what that is.
I mean, at some point...
I don't know. I had a point and I just lost it.
Well, at some point, you know, we will have VR as a way of life. I don't know. It doesn't have to be now. It could be 20 years from now, 30 years from now. You know, I just feeling, you know, and people, you know, it's just a heads-up display, really. I mean, I don't know. I mean, well, let's go back to gaming, okay? Now, we've had augmented reality gaming. I mean, the 3DS does it. You had that Sony book. Remember that book that was augmented reality with
right.
the PlayStation Eye? I mean,
right. There was. I mean, yeah, there was a whole. There was a whole Harry Potter game about it. There's all sorts of stuff.
I mean, do you think that it's conducive to gaming? I mean, not virtual reality, but I mean augmented reality.
I think it largely depends on the design of the mechanics. I mean, you have to, whenever you're working on a platform, you have to try and make sure to capture the benefits of that platform. Otherwise, why are you making that decision?
I think it lends itself more to software toys, you know? I mean, I could easily imagine a augmented reality version of Pets and Cats, right? You know, PTZ and Cats, CATZ, you know, those virtual pets, or Tamagotchi type of pet, you know, in which you have to take care of the pet. I think they already had something like that with the PlayStation Eye, but, you know, I think it lends itself more to software toys than it does actual gaming.
Well, I don't know if I agree with you. I mean, we have companies like Magic Leap that are doing fantastic things in, you know, being able to let you play a game within your natural environment. They have, you know, they've posted videos about the first-person shooters that they're working on. You just put the thing on in your office and see, you know, aliens coming out of the break room and, you know, busting down the ceiling and popping up out of your coworker's cubicle.
But is that VR or AR? Or is it...
AR.
Hey, okay. But does it use 3D?
So, it reads the landscape that you're looking at and makes it part of the game world.
Okay, maybe they'll be there at E3 so I can try it out for myself, because I never heard of this before.
You never heard of Magic Leap? I mean, they kind of took over Facebook for a whole day, you know, a month or so ago.
Well, I don't remember that, and I'm not... I often just log into Facebook from my cell phone, not from the computer, so... But, okay. I mean, it sounds interesting. So, you know, we'd like to hear from you guys, you know, what you think, if this is just, you know, another fad that's going to disappear quickly, you know, like... Look out for 3D TV. I mean, yeah, you have to buy glasses for everybody in the room or they'll get a headache. You know? I mean, well, the 3DS got away with it, but that's because you didn't need glasses with it. You know, it was glasses less 3D. And it wasn't really 3D, it was 3-depth. You know, it wasn't coming at you, it was going away from you.
Well, the 3DS, yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It was a lovely feature, but kind of gimmicky, and it didn't make most of the gameplay any better, so people didn't use it, and now they have the cheaper version.
Yeah, the 120. Actually, you know, there's a place that's selling purple 3DSs for $129, the same amount as a 2DS, so I might... I might go after that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the demand for it has died down. Anybody who wanted one has one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have one, but, you know... What's the latest Pokemon game? Was it...
No idea. They've been around for 15 years.
Is it X, or is it...
No idea.
Because that because basically, whenever I had a handheld, most of the things I would do was Brain Age, or Brain Academy, and Pokemon. Although I did really, really enjoy Dragon Quest IX.
I really enjoyed Disney's Magical World, not for nothing.
Well, that's the thing. Last episode, when I hinted at getting a 3DS or a 2DS, you said get Disney's Magical World.
Oh my god, it was so much fun. It was so simple. So, it was just really entertaining.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next item, and this will probably make you happy, Paul. Go ahead. Humble Bundle.
Oh, Humble Bundle debuts Wii games, and this comes to us from The Verge. The Humble Bundle has turned into a great way to grab cheap games for your PC or mobile phone, while also giving money to several worthy charities. But starting today, it's expanding to consoles as well. The latest bundle features a selection of indie games available for Nintendo devices. The base Pay What You Want bundle includes GameCube Gamakuri?
Guacamelee.
Yeah, interesting name. I see what you've done there. For the Wii U and Woe Dave and Mighty Switch Force on 3DS. Pay more than the average amount and you can grab games like SteamWorld Dig and Ollie Ollie as well. As with most Humble Bundles, more games will be added partway through the sale, which runs for the next 2 weeks. And while nothing has been announced just yet, the bundle could also mean more sales for more consoles in the future. Quote, I just hope it's the start of something, says Humble Bundle co-founder John Graham to Polygon.
So here's the thing. Now, for this particular bundle, you have Guacamelee, which, have you heard of it? It's a really, really good platformer in which you play a luchador, a masked Mexican wrestler, right?
Yeah.
Really, really fun. Woe Dave and Mighty Switch Force are the base. So those you can pay a penny if you want to, if you want to be a real cheapskate. And get those games for the Wii U and 3DS, 3DS.
And Lord knows, there is nothing wrong with that.
Here's the thing. When it first popped up, to get the next three games required you to get a little... See, what happens is an average, right? And that average goes up as more people pay more money, right? It was at $6.75 when it first started, and it leapt up to $9.25, and I think it's stuck at $9.25 now in less than a day. I mean, it was that popular.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you kind of have to, like, if you want to try to beat the average, like, you got to be, like, really fast on the set, on hearing about the sale and getting in on it quickly.
The other games are The Fall for the Wii U, Ollie Ollie, which is for the Wii U and the 3DS, and Moon Chronicles Episode 1 for the 3DS. And if you paid $10, you get Stealth Inc. 2, A Game of Clones, and that's a pretty good game for the Wii U, and SteamWorld Dig for the Wii U and the 3DS. Now, here's the thing. They actually have locked more games coming soon.
They've locked that?
Well, there's a lock there, and there's a little question mark that says, more games coming soon. So, if you pay 10 more, I think you just get the entire... But the thing is that they allow you to change your bid, if you want. You know, pay more and get more. And, of course, the best part, of course, is that when you buy these games, you get to allocate where you want to have the money sent. You can have it...
To which charity, you mean?
Right. Also to the people, you know, to Humble Bundle itself. So you can set, you can have all your money go to a charity, or you could split it 50-50, or you can have, you know, so they allow you to do that. Sometimes they have multiple charities in which you can choose which charities will get your money.
Right, like they had, if I'm not mistaken, they have like a really big bundle, like annually, like, that has like super mega awesome games, like for next to nothing.
And, you know, people, you know, like the top contributor gave $500, which is way more than the value of these games, but, you know, he's setting the charity, so... And it's great, you know, for people who don't have a lot of money, who want games on their platform. And
well, not with the $500 guy up in the curve.
But I'm just saying, you know, say you're a kid, you know, and you only have $5. Hey, you get three games for $5, and they're all good games, you know. And on the other hand, you know, if you want to get games cheap, but you also want to feel good about it, you can do the Humble Bundle and give your give money to charity as well. I don't know which
they
charity
should totally let you write off that charity thing on your taxes.
I don't know which charity is for this one, but there's always they always include Let's Play. You know, that's a there's always a Let's because that's Humble Bundle's charity is it Child's Play?
I think so.
Yeah, it's Child's Play. They always have Child's Play as one of the charities you can give to. And for those who don't know, Child's Play is giving games to kids in hospitals. So, yeah, Guacamelee is really, really good. So, here's the thing, is that they've sold at this point almost 40,000 bundles. And it's only been out for 2 days. And the one
thing... You mean for the Wii U bundle?
Yeah, for the Wii U bundle. And the thing I know is that PC games sell all right, but if you really want to get sales, console sales outstrip them completely. And I think this is going to be a start of a lot of console bundles, you know. So I think this is a really important step. I mean, I'm willing to bet you that you're going to see Xbox One and PlayStation 4 bundles coming up soon after this because.
And not for nothing. I'm kind of surprised that like the first console bundle is sponsored by Nintendo. I mean, really? Okay.
Well, here's the thing: you have to download all this stuff through the eShop, and
right,
that's the way to get them.
At some point, somebody had to work with Nintendo to make it technologically possible.
I guess. By the way, it's what's it called? "Quote unquote" $88 worth of games. Although you know you can probably get these games cheaper on the store shelves, but still
$88 worth of games. I love when they say things like that.
Yeah, I mean, well,
because we all know that that's not what these games are going for. Like they may have gone for that all at retail.
But you know, it's nice to see the Wii U getting some love here. You know,
absolutely.
You know, and like I said, the success of this, and it's already a roaring success because there's still 12, almost 13 days left, and the ticker just went to 30. I mean, there's just less than 2 weeks left of this, you know, and you know, this is the thing that got EA to open up their wallets because EA did their Humble Bundle,
right.
You know,
oh, that's what the big one was this year. EA did like 25 games.
And they did some really recent games. They
right.
had Dead Space 3. They had Dead Space 1 and Dead Space 3. And Dead Space 3 had come out like a couple of months earlier. So this is still a game that was on the shelves that was selling for full price.
Right. It was their really large annual charity drive.
Yeah.
And it was like a default that EA had decided that they're not going to even try to tell people to give them money as part of this because, again, it was for charity.
And the thing is, you know, Humble Bundle is a really painless way for people, for other companies to get their stuff out. And like I said, you know, and you'll probably know this as someone who helps make games, is that a lot of the thing that that a lot of developers want aren't necessarily games, you know, the money from game sales, but they want game sales, period. They don't care how much you're paying for it. They just want you to buy and play their game because they know every person is a walking advertisement, and if you like it, they're going to tell their friends.
Right. So, official endorsement from the VGRT Gaming Podcast. Which,
so,
by the way, you can't buy. We will only give you our honest opinions.
So anyway, yeah, Humble
Unless,
Bundle.
I mean, hey, make us an offer. We'll see what we can do.
If you have a Wii U or a 3DS, hey, look, you know what? Maybe I'll buy my 3DS or 2DS sometime over the weekend so I can take advantage of the Humble Bundle, you know, because then I'll have, you know, a lot of these consoles don't come with games unless you get a bundle. Well, you know,
That's so disappointing nowadays, not for nothing.
Well, they do have some, but it's like they pick the game and, you know, I mean, Guacamelee, hey, you know, it's not on the 3DS though.
I mean, wouldn't it be so much cooler though if instead, just as a total side note, if instead of a prepackaged bundle for console hardware, that it was just like here's the basic thing, you know, here's the machinery, go pick a game.
But they
and
do
we're
that.
Include that. No, and then
on console launches
right.
though, on console
like
launches,
that?
You know, yeah. I mean, when I bought my original Xbox, I had to buy the Xbox, and it came with two games and an extra controller.
Right, but did like?
But they did
the
pay. They
price...
should charge me a little bit more for the.
Right, no, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, was the price fixed at $100 and you can walk into the aisle and pick any game in stock? No.
No, the price. No, the price is fixed on the entire bundle, though. I mean, yeah. I mean,
like back in the day, you used to get like the Nintendo Sports Bundle, the NES Sports Bundle that had Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. You know, but like, wouldn't it also be cool if for that same $100, it's the pick a game bundle?
Well,
especially for launch, go pick whichever launch game.
You know, what's really disappointing is that, you know, when I got the NES, it came with Gyromite and Duck Hunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you got the NES, it came with Super Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt.
Right. And now, when you buy a console, it don't come with nothing. Either there's going to be a free code for something, for some, you know, it's not a demo, but it's sort of like half a game, and it's like, if you want the full experience, you know, if you want the full experience, you have to get this, too. You know, I just wish they would just package it, you know, they would have a launch title. And by a launch title, I mean a title that comes with the console.
Right.
That's specifically for the console. I mean, the Wii had that with... Oh, damn it. Was it that sports Wii Sports, right? That came with the Wii.
Right.
Yeah.
There was also... or was that Wii Fitness? No, it was Wii Sports. But again, I mean, I was just sitting here thinking about that. Like, is that really a full game in and of itself? No, it's a bunch of really...
But it is, a way to... But the Wii Sports was a way... For people
to
learn how to use your Wiimote.
The console, yeah.
No, I mean, it's just sort of how the Wiimote worked, really. Yeah, I mean...
Right, and it really seemed to be a bunch of Wiimote tech demos, frankly.
Well, I mean, but, you know, Grandma liked it.
Grandma did like it.
You know, so... Anyways, so support Humble Bundle. They're doing the Wii games now. They also do novels. They also do...
Humble Bundle does novels?
They do audiobooks, and they also have a Humble Store, which you actually buy stuff as a regular thing.
I will say, here's my problem with
Humble Bundle. Oh, they also have they have audiobooks, and they also have, not only audiobooks, but, Kindle sort of stuff. Ooh, they're doing comic books. They have the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Volume 3 with this. Oh.
I will be completely candid. Here is my problem with Humble Bundle. I just recently got into, like, checking their weekly sales or whatever.
Right.
So I'm kind of new to it, but I bought one Humble Bundle, and I got like 6 or 7 different editions of Heroes of Might and Magic, and I have no reason to buy any more video games for like the next year and a half.
That's
my problem with Humble Bundle. It will you only need to make one purchase and then you're done.
Well, here's the thing: is that I have a lot of games that are unplayed on Steam from the Humble Bundle that I haven't played yet.
Why are we collecting games that we never play and have no time to?
You know, there's a long article about this. About games that are unplayed on Steam, you know, that people buy them when like $3 but never play them.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I still have, like, I mean, okay, so, oh no, I bought two Humble Bundles. I bought the big one, which had Settlers of Catan and Ticket to Ride.
I had that one, actually. Actually, I got that one too, but I got it for, I bought it for the Android, my Android, instead of for Steam, because, you know, I figured I need some games on this. You know, you have to download the Humble Bundle app. But, you know, I find myself playing Catan quite a bit on my Android now.
Well,
not,
I mean,
not so
of,
much Ticket
I've kind
ride.
Of learned all I'm going to learn from Catan, and I don't particularly, you know, enjoy it. but be that as it may...
Well, I ended up getting all the expansions because I always wanted to know how Cities and Knights worked and stuff like that.
Well, no, exactly. So now I know how Cities and Knights work, and that's, you know, that's lovely. But, like, I have... Like, at least 4 or 5 games sitting in there. Like, I know I have Ticket to Ride sitting there.
You have to have Bard's Tale in there, because that was part of the bundle.
I mean, I know Ticket to Ride is in there because that was on my list of things to play.
What was that game with the creatures which have legs, these long legs, and I forgot?
My point is, Jonah, that I keep trying to say, is that I have no idea what games that I have. I know I have 6 other games that came in that bundle, but, like, I have no time to play them. I kind of have really no interest to play them. They just kind of came with the bundle.
You know, at some point, you're going to say, you know, I'm just going to download this and see what it's like and, you know, just play for a few
minutes. I've downloaded them all already. They're sitting
I mean, I'm just
going to
play I'm going
to
play them for, like, a few minutes just to... Because you know what happens. You get bored with the usual fare and say, you know, I bought it. I might as well try it, see if I like it. If nothing else, I'll know if I want to delete it from my hard drive.
Dude, do you know how many? Yeah, that might be the only time I ever play it. If I need to decide, okay, I need to, you know, poop or get off the pot here. But do you know how many games are on my to playlist? I mean,
let me ask you a question.
This is a chronic problem for a game designer.
What Heroes of Might and Magic games do you play? Because
dude, I'm starting with number one.
You're starting with number one. Well, you know that number
Which
one
is
not the first one.
Fantastically hard, by the way. I got it like 3 weeks ago, and I could only get, like, I'm only on like board three or four.
You know
and
that it's not the first game in the series.
Flight to New York.
It's not the first game in the series. The first game in the series was The King's Bounty. And then they called it Heroes of Might and Magic. I started with Heroes of Might and Magic,
I don't even know if King's Bounty came with it, frankly. I just picked the one
that
didn't have any numbers.
Heroes of Might and Magic 2 and Heroes of Might and Magic 3 are the highlights of the series.
Oh, my God. Heroes 3 is definitely the highlights of the series. I played, 4 or 5, and it was just like, dear God, they've got so far into...
Into
these 3D graphics that, like, it just doesn't... Like, it's not helping anything. It's just eating up my memory.
I got Heroes of Might and Magic 6, and I played it for a few minutes, and, you know, I haven't gotten back to it. The thing about 2 and 3 was that I made a crap ton of maps for it. And, you know, the
yes,
funny thing is...
remember.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, I wonder if I start making maps for... See, the problem is that we're so far after that is that people have bought the... have made all these mods... Heroes of Might and Magic 3, which changed stats, which changed some abilities and all that stuff. And my attitude is, no! No. I play it the way it was released. It doesn't need any play balancing. It was fine the way it is. And all of this changing is just jerking off.
It's kind of deleterious to you to have that that viewpoint right now. Because in the age of, like,
yeah,
game
I know.
One launch patches, I mean... You're kind of like, I think, cheating.
No, but these are mods, and these are mods, though. You know, they're not patches. They're just fan-made changes that you know, do it the way they think it should be done, not the way the developer intended. And I just say, you know, I play my vanilla Heroes 3. Thank you very much. I go up to the latest developer patch, and that's where it sits. You know, but my point is that I'm wondering, if I start making maps for Heroes of Might and Magic 3 again, I wonder how popular they would be if I just posted them.
Well, it depends on how
I was very good.
The design, Jonah.
I was very good. I mean, I got thousands and thousands of downloads. I don't know if it was from File Planet or something or whatever. And as I said before, you know, people asked me if I could have their permission to publish them with these map bundles. And sure, why not? You know, maybe I should have said I need money for it though. But you know, I was young and naive. So.
Well, I wouldn't say money. I would say credit, if nothing else.
Oh no, they gave me credit. I mean, my name's on the in the credits of.
Oh great!
All
my
maps.
It's verifiable.
Yeah,
lovely.
I mean, you know, if you do Heroes of Might and Magic 3 and Jonah Falcon Google search, you'll see Evil is Good and some of the other map names. So yeah, I mean, you know, they're not very hard to find. I mean, if you really wanted to find my maps, you could find them anywhere.
Good to know.
Yeah. You know, I just realized maybe you'll download some of my maps.
I probably won't.
Well, maybe.
Just because I have so many to get through.
Well, for Heroes of Might and Magic 3, I mean, the thing is, I have to tell you which ones are the ones I like, you know, the ones I think were good.
I promise if I ever get to the point where I am going to download Heroes of Might and Magic maps that aren't already in the games, I will call you.
But here's the thing. Before we move on to the next article, is that the maps that I made were specifically made for co-op, you know? Because I felt there were too few co-op maps, so a lot of them are player 1 and player 2 versus player 3 and player 4 versus player 5, player 6. Because me and my friend, we would play player 1 and player 2 and, you know, play against these other teams of players, you know? So we were co-oping against the computer. So I always made these co-op maps. So that's why I made maps, because there weren't enough maps that had the play style that I wanted, you
right?
Know? And randomizing a map was just crap.
It's been forever since I've played 3. I didn't even know you could do that.
You can just. You'll probably jump right in and say, "Oh yeah, I remember this." Okay, we're gonna move on to the next item. World of Warcraft players are pissed their characters can't fly. From Kotaku. World of Warcraft players are, in a very little sense of the word, grounded. Many of them don't like that one bit. Ever since the World of Warcraft second expansion, Burning Crusade, players have been able to obtain flying mounts, usually after seeing much of each expansion's new content on foot and hitting the new level cap. However, Blizzard's decided to change that with the most recently released expansion, Warlords of Draenor, and likely World of Warcraft expansions to come. Speaking with Polygon last week, lead designer Ion Hazakostas explained, "We realized that while we were doing it out of this ingrained habit after we introduced flying in the Burning Crusade, it actually detracted from gameplay in a whole lot of ways. While there was certainly convenience in being able to completely explore a world in three dimensions, it also came at the expense of gameplay like targeted exploration, like we were trying to figure out what's in that cave on the top of the hill and how do I get up there. The world feels larger, feels more dangerous without flight. There's more room for exploration, for secrets, for discovery, and overall immersion in the world. At this point, we feel that outdoor gameplay in the World of Warcraft is ultimately better without flying. We're not going to be reintroducing the ability to fly in Draenor, and that's kind of where we're at going forward. Despite the fact that Blizzard plans to make automated taxi-like flights between major locations as convenient and plentiful as possible, players have not exactly given the change a resounding zug-zug of approval. Flight, after all, is something that they have in other areas, and many of them have spent heaps of gold on rare flying mounts. Many players are downright frustrated. I could show you the tons and tons of comments from people on this, but I'm not... Blizzard will also be doing a fan Q&A about flying on June 6th, nearly 2 weeks from now. So I can see where Blizzard is coming from, because here's the thing, and as someone who makes games, you probably know this as well. You know, there's content you want people to try and find. If you're flying around, you're going to miss a lot of content. You know, you're not going to care about that content. You're just going to go from A to B.
Well, and how are you directing people towards that content would be my question.
You know, well, there's hidden spots. You know, there's like hidden locations that, you know, I guess, you know, you wouldn't be able to care about if you're flying, you know.
Hidden spots and locations. Well, I mean, clearly something in the game needs to direct you to a place where the designer wants you to go. Well, otherwise, how are you playing?
Well, here's the thing. You brought this up a lot. You know, that MMO characteristics, you know, or personality traits, you know, the explorer, the social...
Bardell's player types.
Yeah. So I think what Blizzard's trying to do is they're trying to get the more exploration out of their game.
Yeah, but trying to force an activity on people who have no desire to participate in it is going to result in a unfun game.
Well, here's the thing. I think they're just removing it from the main area. You know, because I think in the expansions you could always fly around no matter what you did. I think that's still available. I'm not quite sure because the article is very vague about it. You know,
I mean, if it were my decision, I would do it the other way around. I mean, leave it flying in the main area, and I would have certain areas where it was not beneficial to fly. Like, for example,
it is no fly zones.
not even that, but like, in City of Heroes. Which was my MMO back in the day.
You fly anywhere. I mean,
you could fly anywhere.
Well, here's the thing. You not only could fly, you could jump instead, or you could just run really, really, really fast.
Right. You could fly anywhere. The problem is, like, when you go into any... when you go to the park, if you try to fly over the...
People
thickly
shoot you down.
Forested, if you try to fly over the thickly forested park, and then you couldn't be able to, you know...
Oh, that's right.
...fly your way through the trees. Like,
yeah, there was a roof on the forest, basically. There was a roof. You couldn't go through the roof.
Right, you couldn't go through the roof.
Not to mention...
So it's like, oh, so I have to try and get... I'll fly over to where I want to go, and then walk on top of the roof of the forest, and try to fall through as close as I possibly can.
Oh, also, you know, those people would shoot you down as well. If they're there and you were close enough, they would just say, okay, we're going to shoot you down, and it was not
fun. Right, I mean, which is why you would always fly... super high, like, not to be a pun on City of Heroes, but you would always fly really, really high, or up to the roof of the zone, even, like, right up against the sky. You know, so it's just like, it wouldn't be my choice to do it the way that they seem to be doing it.
Well, the thing about Blizzard is that they're very in tune with their fan base, so if the outcry becomes, because here's the thing, sometimes, you know, there's an old saying, if you listen to the fans, you'll be sitting with them. You know, sometimes fans don't know what's good for them, so they're probably going to let this go on for like a few months and see if it dies down and people adjust and people are fine with it. Or they may just see subscribers dropping, you know, and then they'll say, okay, we got to do something else because this
is costing us money.
Absolutely,
but with your wallets.
You know. So, for those of you still playing World of Warcraft out there, because I haven't played in a long while. Oh, God. That's not exactly something I want to say in my Blizzard interview. Well, I haven't played World of Warcraft in quite a while. That's not what they're going to want to hear.
You don't want to rethink that.
Yeah. So I might...
Edit that out in post.
No, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to join World of Warcraft again. I mean, it's only $15 a month. I mean, you know, and the thing is that, you know, I'm curious to see...
$15 a month and 80 hours, I mean...
Well, let's face it, I don't have anything better to do with my time except work, you know. But the thing is that I got to reacclimate myself because they changed so much. They changed skills for crying out loud. Now you have all these clumps of skills instead of when you could micromanage your skills. Now you can't do that anymore.
Okay.
So yeah, I got to find out what's going on in World of Warcraft again. I know for you, you're just waiting for Warcraft 4.
I really am. I have no desire to play with other people.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that's always a rumor, you know, every year. Yeah, Warcraft 4. And I'm wondering, well, you know, going to E3, maybe Blizzard will have Warcraft 4 there. Who knows?
Although, lovely.
Actually, the thing about Blizzard, though, is they like to announce things at BlizzCon more than they do at E3.
Fair enough. I mean, they get to charge money for it.
Yeah, but at least the people who go there get free swag. I haven't gone to BlizzCon yet.
Me neither, even though it's here in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I should try it sometime. Anyway, now we're going to move on to news about a series that you've sort of followed, but have gotten sort of disappointed in. So this might be intriguing to you. Go ahead, Paul.
Final Fantasy XV news coming next week, and this comes to us from GameSpot.
Oh, look, Hans Krebs popped up on Skype.
Dear God. Square Enix on Tuesday announced that its next active time report will be held on Thursday, June 4th. During the program, Final Fantasy XV director Hajime Taboja will provide, quote, development updates for the game. He will be joined in the video briefing by global marketing manager Akiro Araki. The video event will be broadcast on YouTube and Twitch featuring subtitles. The show starts at 6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, that tells me that it's being broadcast directly from Japan, because that would be something like, what, 7 p.m.? In Japan, you know.
Absolutely.
So, Final Fantasy XV. They have a lot of things they have to do to win back the crowd for that series in a big way. I mean, the single-player RPG. They've won back the crowd for Final Fantasy XIV, but that's an MMO. You know.
Right.
And I know that... Actually, isn't that a big peeve of yours that they include the MMOs as part of the series?
Oh, absolutely.
11
that's
and 14?
That's ridiculous.
So... what do you want to see from Final Fantasy XV, aside from not a linear hallway game?
I mean, can we just go back to the stuff that made Final Fantasy X good? Like, give me a decent story, give me characters to care about, give me easy game, you know, not easy, give me compelling gameplay, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Give me a customization system that actually works. You know, like, here's the thing. When you have lightning in a bottle...
Oh, you know, that's actually a nice little pun there, because heroine of 13 is lightning.
I mean, but when you have something successful...
Yeah.
Why... Like, well, I don't understand. Like, why try to reinvent the wheel every time?
Well, let me ask you a question. Now, you really enjoyed 10, right?
Oh, amazingly.
Okay, so... was the decline after 10 for you, or was it something else that was like in 12, or...
Oh, no, it was starting with 10-2 and moving on from there.
Okay, so how is 10-2 different? I mean, you said you love 10, but how was 10-2, you know, like, oh, this isn't quite as...
There was so little guidance in 10-2 that it was fantastically easy to become lost. There was, narratively, there was the feeling of coming in... I mean, it takes place, like, what, a year or so after...
Well, I ask you a question. How different was 10 from 10-2, then? I mean, if you felt these changes were happening in basically the second part of a story...
the changes were really bad.
And they were let's not go good or bad, but they made drastic changes in the same.
That's what I mean. They were fantastically drastic.
Oh, okay.
While much of the combat was like, instead of swapping out between seven characters, you're swapping out three characters that have different skills. Hmm. You know, they can just pick up different skill sets, kind of like Amazo in the DC universe.
Right.
You know, essentially, that was the same thing. Like, in the first one, you had to pick the guy who was great at long-range attacks. In the second one, you had to pick, you know, the class with long-range attacks, as opposed to, like, just the individual person. So, like, on that kind of sense, it was a little bit similar. But they took characters that you cared about and changed them in drastically vile ways. And basically, like, you were just kind of checking in with the game to see what happens to all the characters that you care about a year later, and it's like, you don't get to play as them anymore, and the ones that you do get to play about, either A, you don't care about her, or B, she's so, you know, drastically different that it doesn't feel like the same world anymore. And you're trying to solve mysteries that you don't really care about, and you pick up in the middle of them. It was a lot about not being guided properly. Not that your progress didn't carry over, but like nothing you did, very little that you did in the first game seemed to have mattered.
And what about 12 then?
Oh, 12 was just nightmare nonsense. I mean, like, just like you said, it was just like, okay, we're just going to walk down this one.
Well, that was 13. Hallway. That was the long hallway. Was 12 the same way?
I think 12 was, 12 was online experience, if I'm not mistaken.
No, 11 was Final Fantasy. 11 was the MMO.
All right, 11. So 11 was the one I didn't play. 12, I forgot my reason for not liking.
Well,
it.
Well, maybe that's a damning thing that you can't remember.
I spent a little time in it. It was. I mean, I really drastically did not care for it.
Yeah. So, the thing is that I've never gotten into Final Fantasy because I only got in at 13, which was not a very good place to start in. But then again, I knew that it wasn't.
You never got into Final Fantasy at all?
No, I was more of a PC Commodore 64 Amiga player, so I had.
Dude, go play Final Fantasy X. The game's amazing.
I'm getting the 3DS,
amazeballs.
Well, the thing is, if I'm getting a 3DS, maybe that's one of the games I can get. I think that's and also Final Fantasy VII, which is supposed
Final
to be
Fantasy
really good.
Final Fantasy X was only available on the PS2.
Are you sure? I wasn't. Yes. I could have sworn.
No, it was not a cross-platform game. I mean,
no, I mean now.
You might want to go look. Yeah, no, I mean you might want to go look it up now, but yeah.
Okay, so there's only
like
people.
Those options may have changed because I know that there was a reboot.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII.
No, I think there was 10, and they just like made they put 10 and 10-2 together in the same SKU.
Yeah, but not on the
3DS. Graphics and that kind of stuff.
Not on the handheld though. They have Final Fantasy
III. Point is that might have made it available, you know, that reboot, remix, whatever you want to call it, might be available on the PS3 or the PS4, a handheld, whatever, just go check it out.
Yeah, it's a remaster. That was really,
remaster, that's what I mean.
Released this year, in fact. It was just released. Final Fantasy X-2 HD remaster was released in May, this May. The charts ending May 17th.
Oh, you mean just a few weeks ago
in Japan? So it's not here yet.
Wait for it to come out here and get it on whatever.
But I don't have the platform it's on. I don't own a PS4. So.
Oh well, excuse me then. don't get to beat me. I don't have a PS4 either.
Yeah, but I'm willing to bet you at some point it's going to come out on a Nintendo handheld. So
I don't know. I don't know. It's an old game. If anything, go buy it for PS2. I mean, you can get it for like what, $9 at this point.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know. Well,
the game has the Novak seal of approval. What do you want from me?
So I'm just saying, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, just as you had to play Grim Fandango to see what all the fuss was about. Even though you haven't played it yet.
You should play this to see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, play it. The problem is that I'm not that big a fan of JRPGs. I mean, I enjoyed Blue Dragon, which is basically a JRPG. It's almost a parody of a JRPG. It's so JRPG-ish. And Dragon Knight 9, which was on the DS, you know, I... That's wonderful. That, you know, I'll try and play it at some point, you know.
I'm saying, if I were going to give out a syllabus for a video game history class, that would be definitely the top in the genre.
Well, I just hope if I play it, it doesn't feel horribly dated. You know, and by that I mean controls and menus and all that stuff, because you know something about a JRPG is they love their menus.
But this one made a lot of sense. The characters were highly customizable.
Okay.
And your decisions mattered.
Oh, I did play Final Fantasy Tactics. I know that's not a Final Fantasy RPG.
Not the same thing.
I know, but, you know.
E for effort. I mean, you tried.
Yeah. We're going to move on to listener feedback. Take it away, Paul.
From Alphashard. Hey, guys, why does Paul have to leave? I know you've been saying you would leave if you didn't get enough comments, so I'm sorry. No, it's not what it is. I was teasing Alphashard. That's not what it's about. I'm sorry. So I'm sorry I didn't post last episode. I miss you being on the show. Glad we still get some more episodes with you. You have fun energy and insight into gaming that makes the show great. It's also terrible about that story about the young woman committing suicide. Another sign of ignored infrastructure of our roads, bridges, and mental health of the people. This isn't a polycast, though. Joke for Dan. I want to know if Jonah's been playing the Pillars of Eternity. I found playing quite a lot of it, been playing it quite a lot and enjoying it. I think it really recaptured the feel of the Infinity Engine games, great writing, and even improved upon it. For example, the text adventure choices were a nice addition to the game. They also fixed old abuses, like with the rogue being able to stack a bunch of traps and cheese kill a boss. You can only place one trap per area, so no insta-kill. Not to mention the pickpocketing merchants and selling the ground items back to them.
So you can't do that anymore. You know, I backed Pillars of Eternity. Like I said, I backed it for $145. I've played through the first part. I have not played since because I've been so busy. I liked the Baldur's Gate games, but it's not like I was in love with them. So yeah, it's okay.
You're cutting out. Oh, there you go.
It's okay, but you know, I'll probably play more of it. Like I said, those games, you know, a lot of games, so many games, so little time, you know.
Speaking of, at game time commitment, I agree with you about the time issue. Getting older, I have less time, and that's why I stopped playing World of Warcraft and avoiding all MMOs. I only play games that I can quit out of at a moment's notice if I need to. I'm still into RPG games. PoE isn't as open world as Skyrim was. Paul is right about story. A game can have a great story, but if the gameplay is boring, grinding of fighting to get your XP up enough to advance to the next area, you just won't bother.
Oh, by the way,
I'm going to get a t-shirt. Story is gameplay's bitch.
By the way, I have been playing one. That reminds me, I've been playing Total Pinball on the Xbox One because it's quick, and I bought the old Star Trek The Next Generation pinball table, which I remember playing a lot. So I've been playing a lot of that, because you can basically get in and play a few rounds and then get out again, you know.
So anyway. At LEGO Dimension Characters, I love the idea of Doctor Who. We need some games, these characters. I think Doctor Who should have a puzzle game series that would fit the character and show idea more than what they have done so far. A LEGO Doctor Who will have to do for now, I suppose. For me, I want the older Doctors, like the 7th and 8th Doctors. I love the Victorian TARDIS those two had.
By the way, they just announced that Christopher Lloyd will be playing Doc Emmett Brown for the Back to the Future LEGO Dimensions pack.
Lovely!
So,
at Nintendo Theme Park, excuse me while my inner child goes berserk with sheer joy. I would die of just pure happiness being able to walk through a Hyrule Castle or Mario Land. Paul is right. The Nintendo IPs deserve a large-scale area of rides, exhibits, games, and more. I mean, I'm actually thinking there needs to be some sort of bounce house where you can just jump on Goombas, have a Yoshi ride, and so on.
Yeah.
I also love the Harry Potter world stuff, and hope the Nintendo theme park will be as good as that. Could you imagine a foam sword fighting as Link? I can.
By the way, I was just thinking, you know, that actually work well if you have these platforms in a bouncy castle sort of thing so that you can try and do a Mario jump from one platform to the other. But if you miss, you just fall into, you know, a bouncy part of the thing. So, yeah, that would actually work. Maybe not popping Goomba balloons, but still, you know.
Yeah, I mean, my fear is just that it's going to be one ride.
I don't think that's going to
be,
no.
You're looking over at the Universal area right next to my house, Universal theme park right next to my house. you know, like, they have Jurassic Park World Land Incorporation. It's one ride. It's one ride and a counter service eating location.
I just had this thing in which...
Same thing with the Mummy, same thing with Despicable Me. Like, it's like, the news is they're bringing one ride at a time. It's like, are you kidding? Like, Transformers also.
I have this image of Paul dreading going to the ride, and it's basically one of those Tunnel of Love type of rides in which you sit in a thing and you just move out, and you have all these animatronics, and you have It's a Small World After All. You know, I love
me some good dark rides, but one dark ride does not a franchise or a company presence make.
So, by the way, have you seen Tomorrowland?
The movie, no.
Okay, because that's yet another, you know, movie that's based on a Disney ride. I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean did well. This one's not.
I might watch it on Netflix, but I really don't have much interest.
I think that's the attitude. Too many attitude of people. They'll just wait for it on Netflix, you know, or they'll wait for it to come out on video.
You now have to do extra job to motivate people out of their house.
But I went to see Mad Max Fury Road, and I want to see it again.
Oh, that was terrific. I hated it.
You hated it?
Oh my god, it was. Well, I'm not going to say that it wasn't well.
It's not your type of genre, is it?
No, it's really not my type of genre. I didn't really care about most of the characters. If it wasn't for the particular plot that they were working with, I would have no desire to see another story set in that universe.
You never saw the Road Warrior or Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome?
No, I have no desire. I mean that.
But I've been asking you seen it before?
I mean this goes to larger philosophical problems of mine. But I'm really tired of dark dystopian environments for our films that basically make us afraid to speak up for change because we might destroy the future rather than showing us a possibility of what our future might be. And so, you know what? Maybe I will go see Tomorrowland. Maybe it will be inspiring. Maybe it will have people.
That one's about the end of the world too, just so you know. But anyways.
Great, thanks.
No, that the entire point is that George Clooney's character is
said I might go see it.
But the thing is that maybe you'd like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome because it's a little brighter and it has Tina Turner. And she's fabulous in it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Tina Turner to show up, and I was honest, she's not here.
But anyways, so yeah, look for our show notes at Gaming Podcast. Oh wait, yeah, we already did.
Oh well, my main problem about seeing Mad Max is that it was deliberately engineered to make the viewer uncomfortable, and it's like I have enough discomfort, thank you.
But the spoiler, but the ending is so happy.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. You know, here's the thing is that a lot of people notice this. It's actually a fairy tale in which the princess is coming back to take back her castle.
Oh my god, don't even get me started on story structure with this movie. And don't dare say that this is at all unique to Mad Max.
Well, I'm not saying it's unique. I'm just saying... Well, here's the thing. You know, it's also spaghetti western, and, you know, it's so much a spaghetti western, it's not funny. So, you know, it's not your type of film, but it's getting rave reviews.
I don't enjoy... Yeah, that's fantastic. I don't enjoy being made uncomfortable for no reason by my entertainment.
Oh. So you didn't like the part where these fat old women are being strapped up to be milked by...
Why do you have to always take everything to a disgusting place?
But that's... Hey, the movie did it, not me.
There are so many other things
you could have asked about in that movie. The movie did it.
There are so many other things you could have asked about in that movie.
But I loved Nux's story arc. Nux was the brainwashed kid who ends up tagging along.
Oh, yeah. I love the story arc.
Anyways, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast. Or send your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave some iTunes comments. You can also follow Joan and Paul on Twitter with @JonahFalcon, no space, and @StagerMonkey. And by the way, even if Paul's gone, he'll still be there.
Yeah, I'm still on Twitter. You can always reach me.
But wait, did you say you wanted to change your Stager Monkey name? Or
I might, but I might do that in the future.
Okay. So anyways, hopefully we'll have a new person with us next week. Because, you know, three is better than two in this case.
I'm very excited to learn who this may be. Perhaps you'll get a female perspective.
You know, the thing is that... No, he's not a girl.
No, but he's not a girl?
No.
Hmm.
But he does have some experience with the industry. Anyways, well,
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say, but he does have some experience with the ladies, and I was going to, like, I almost threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I don't know. Maybe he does. We'll have to ask him. It's not that kind of podcast.
Oh my God.
Okay, this is the episode in which Paul wishes that it was already
$3.99. Dude, you have no idea. Like, 15 episodes is like 4 months, guys. Well, I'm announcing my departure 4 months at a time.